Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today, waking up this morning to some eerie sounds out there. The silence in Italy is absolutely deafening. And around the country in the news media, we're hearing more reports about coronavirus. And it's hitting some of our top officials in the White House and in Senate and in different areas. So we have quite an interesting concept that's swirling all around us. I'm on a different wavelength, though. I don't know what it is, and I'll be honest with you, but I don't say this boastfully. I don't care, and I don't know why I don't care. I mean, I have written about a massive plague that would hit the United States of America years ago, but for some reason, and I don't know why, I'm not in denial, and I'm not kind of burying my head in the sand. I just don't care. I don't like the panic, the fear mongering. When I see Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer with smirks on their face saying, oh, we just don't want to cause panic, but the president better get ready for this. You know, I just feel like there's a political, you know, thing going on here to a degree. And it's not that we're not prepared. We wash our hands. We are healthy. We're eating good food and taking good vitamins and living our lives with exercise and doing the best that we can. And there's just, I just don't care. And, you know, is that the message that, you know, we're supposed to be presenting? Well, every day, you know, 5 days a week, we're on this radio broadcast. We've been preparing people for years. So we're not surprised that this is happening. But I, again, my friend, Dr. Mick, said, this is like a magician. And the magician is showing everybody what's going on in this hand, you know, your right hand, and everybody's looking at it. But down here in the other hand, there's something else going on. And I'm more interested in the something else way beyond the coronavirus. And yet we saw yesterday 2,000-point drop in the markets, and we saw the S&P 500 for 15 minutes go into a shutdown because it was falling so quickly. But today it's going up, and now it's the concern about the Bernie Sanders and the Joe Biden. I've had a dream. I've told you my dream. It's not a big deal. It was only a dream. Maybe it's from God. Maybe it's not from God. I don't know. But in my dream, Joe Biden won the election. I shared this about 7 months ago, and I've got friends that, you know, remember the dream that I was sharing on radio. Joe Biden won the election, but he was not a happy man. It was as though he had inherited something beyond his ability to absolutely deal with, whatever that is. I hope Donald J. Trump, our president, wins the election in 2020. There's no reason why he shouldn't. I mean, when you consider Joe Biden, when you consider Bernie Sanders or anybody else on the left, I mean, it's just awkward to think that there's any hope at all on the left. It is so impossible. It's kind of what the left thought about Hillary Clinton winning the election. They thought that Donald Trump was a joke and it was a no-brainer, and here he won the election. And I think a lot of us on the right, if you will, are looking at the left going, man, there's no way. These people are foolish. And yet I had a dream Joe Biden won the election. I hope it's not true. But what if he did? What would it actually mean? What would it actually matter? And then if the dream is accurate from God, that would mean that Joe Biden will win, but something's deadly wrong. He's not happy about his victory. Something's wrong. Are we that close? Are we that close to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You and I, who are Christians and believers, who have been born again and filled with the Spirit, are we that close? Is it possible that the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, going all the way back to the beginning of time, remember what Jesus said, that this great tribulation will be greater than at any other time before it, and there will never be anything like it after it. We're talking about the great tribulation of Revelation chapter 13. And is it possible? Because in our understanding of Scripture, immediately after the tribulation spoken of in Scripture, the coming of the Lord will be. Are we ready to walk into the greatest persecution, the greatest tribulation, the greatest commotion, the greatest suffering globally, all over the world at the same time, population reduction, mass amounts of human life being wiped out off the face of the earth? Are we moving in the direction of World War III? Could it take place in the context of the next 4.5 years? Think about that. 4.5 years from now is going to bring us to what? The middle of 2024? The fall of 2024? Is it possible that during the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm just throwing it out there, no dates, I'm just asking, is it possible that this 2020 election, which brings us to the year 5780, by the way, you know, on March 26th, 5780, and again, without trying to put things together or force circles and squares or anything like that, is it possible that the 220 years that were missing out of the Bible, and you attach that to the year 5780 that begins on March 26th, and if you add the 220 missing years to 5780, that brings you to the year 6,000. And one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, that we have come to the end of 6 millennial days, and the 7th day is about to begin. Are we that close? Is it possible that the transition from the 6th day to the prophetic 7th day, that we have to go through that tribulation, that birthing canal? Many things are being birthed right now. You heard George H.W. Bush's speech in the 1990. It was on September 11th, 9/11, 1990, when he said that the New World Order was struggling to be birthed. And back then in 1990, we were dealing with another war with Saddam Hussein, and we've had this trouble. But is 2020 the time that's going to introduce the new world order from the satanic Luciferian mindset? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just asking, is it possible that we are so close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ after the Great Tribulation, and we have to prepare to walk through this season? Well, we shouldn't be surprised. We've been preaching it for 25 to 30 years. You've been aware of this. What's going on in the world right now? What do you call it when markets crash 2,000 points? What do you call it when coronavirus spreads around the world? What do you call it when tornadoes are taking out cities like Nashville, Tennessee? What do you call it when school shootings, church shootings, mall shootings, concert shootings, what do you call it with four blood red moons and solar eclipses and star constellations lining up in the heavens in the context of just a few years? What do you call all this? Well, the Bible calls it commotions. And I want to remind you that the word commotions, when Yeshua spoke this in Luke chapter 20, that the word commotion actually means instability, or that things will become unstable. It is a sign of the times that the foundations will be shaken. Everything in heaven and on earth will be shaken. But you and I who believe are to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So why would we get involved in the panic and the fear and the worry? What we were told to do was prepare. You know, I never see Noah stressed out. I never see Noah panicking. I never see Noah worrying. I see him preaching the gospel for a good 100 years to his generation. They lived a lot longer in those days. While he was building the ark, I see him a fiery preacher of righteousness, warning the world of what was coming. But while he was preaching, he was building the ark according to the pattern, because God gave them something that would enable them to go through their time of tribulation. Now, is there an end time pattern for God's people today to be able to endure the great tribulation? Let me tell you one thing. The pattern is not the pre-tribulational rapture doctrine. That is not a proper pattern in the scriptures. That is not a true pattern. And anybody that builds their life on the pattern of a pre-tribulational rapture is going to fall miserably short. They're not going to be able to endure what's coming down the pike. Most likely, they're going to fall away. Their hearts will be hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. They will hate one another. The love of God will wax cold in their heart. They'll betray one another. That's what's going to happen if you try to build in these last days according to some pattern or blueprint called the pre-tribulational rapture. It doesn't exist. I'm not an expert, but I know how to read. The Holy Spirit reveals things. It's not there. Now, the pattern that God gave to Noah was a very exact pattern. He told him exactly what he needed to do. And ladies and gentlemen, in the new covenant, we have an exact pattern of what we should be doing when we see the signs of the times appearing all around us. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, know that it's at the door. And every single sign that he mentioned is now taking place globally around the world at the same time. And you and I should be awakened to it. This isn't the time to find opportunity in the midst of a crisis and make a bunch of money off the coronavirus. This isn't the time to, you know, do anything like that. This is the time to enter into your ark. This is the time that you wrap up your preparations. This is the time that you get ready to go into the chamber and shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. This is a glorious time to be sealed by the Holy Spirit with the mark of God in your forehead, being an overcomer. Listen, if you are not an overcomer, if you are not one who was worked out their salvation with fear and trembling, making yourself ready for the coming of the Lord, if you're not a wise virgin, there's only one thing to expect. You're going into the great tribulation, and nothing you have done is going to stand when this kind of pressure comes. The pressure is designed to deal with every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish within your soul, in my soul. The impotent gospel that has been preached in this generation, the doctrine of demons, the ear-tickling doctrine, tell us smooth things, tell us what we want to hear. We want to heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears. That impotent gospel produced no piercing effect to the heart. It did not bring any potency to bring brokenness or confession or repentance. Today, people don't even blush over their sin anymore. It's the truth. So what will happen if you're not one of the 144,000 sealed ones? If you're not part of the Church of Philadelphia and you're going to be spared from the time of temptation and tribulation, there's only one place you're going, and that is into the Great Tribulation, where there will be great martyrdom. Many martyrs are going to die in Nigeria today. I've been telling you for a couple of weeks, they are at an alarming rate of killing the Nigerian Christians, who may not have as much stuff as we American Christians have, but one thing they have, they are not willing to deny their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. In the face of the opposition and the Islamic sword of Boko Haram, they are willing to die for their belief in Jesus Christ. They're not caring about the things of this world. Now, during the Great Tribulation, there are going to be loads of death. People are going to be dying everywhere. Now, if you're not prepared, if you're not one of those remnant believers, if you're not one of those wise virgins, you just need to understand that you're going into the Great Tribulation. That's all there is to it. But if you're a wise virgin and you have been preparing and you have sanctified your heart through faith and allowed the Holy Spirit to do his work in your life, and the blood of Christ and the cross of Christ and the grace of Christ and the mercy of Christ and the word of Christ, if you've allowed Christ to do the work in you, this isn't a time to be worrying or thinking how to seize an opportunity out of the crises. No, this is a time, wrap up your preparations, get ready to go into the wilderness. I mean, that's what the word of God says to the woman, the overcomer, the bride. You're going into the wilderness. It doesn't say you're going to be pre-tribulationally raptured out of the earth. You're going into the wilderness where God has prepared a place for you. God is already gone before the overcomers to prepare a place for them where they're going to be taken care of for a time and a times and a half a time. That's 3.5 years in Bible prophecy understanding. So listen, the commotions are here. We are now in the unstable time. So what the world is going to do, what Babylon's going to do, is do everything in its power to release their social engineers, their scientific engineers, their political engineers, their financial engineers to try to stabilize this thing. But God is showing you the unstable times because we are at a time where a massive earthquake is ready to take place. A spiritual earthquake in the first place, where everything in heaven and earth will be shaken. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the time of the great shaking, the time of instability. And you know, wherever there is unstable environment or instability, it only means that the collapse is at the door. That's it. So when it comes to the coronavirus and all the past, I don't care. I don't care. What I care about is being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. I want to live by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and so should you. You should want to live by the leading of the Holy Spirit. They who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, the huios, the mature sons, in whom God can do an amazing and mighty work in and through. I expect that there are going to be supernatural signs and wonders. It's going to put the falsity of the media and the trickery of our politicians to shame. Even the Antichrist, false prophet, miracles and signs and wonders that trick men into worshiping the dragon. This that is coming from Spirit of God is going to put it all to shame. I see, I believe that. I'm not up to the task in and of myself, but there is a God in heaven that dwells inside of us. There is a God who put his Spirit in us. There is a God who allowed Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith. I declare war against the spirit of cessationism, that there's no spiritual power for the people of God anymore. No more apostles, no more prophets, no more miracles, no more signs and wonders from the glory of God. I rebuke that. I absolutely, purely, unadulteratedly rebuke that spirit of cessationism. God's people are going to need a supernatural touch. They need to know how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. They need to speak the word and it shall be done. They need to be able to command the sea and the waves and the winds. Not be worrying about coronavirus. It's here. Absolutely. It may do devastating, damaging things. But I thought we were the Psalm 91 people. I thought we were the blood of Christ people. That when the angel of death passed over the houses of the Israelis in Egypt, 3,500 years, they saw that angel of death saw the blood and passed over. So what the heck are God's people doing getting caught up in the anxiousness, the anxiety, the fear, the intrepidation of what is here? We've already warned, like so many others have, what is coming, and now it's here, and we're going to start panicking? God forbid it, dear friends. God forbid that you should fear. Listen, worst case scenario, you get infected with coronavirus, and a Muslim comes and cuts your head off, okay? Worst case scenario, some terrorist cuts your head off. You get sick. You die. But if you die in faith, believing in Jesus Christ, so what? You're going to resurrect at the second coming of the Lord. And if this is the great tribulation, his coming's not that far off. And when he comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you're going to get a brand new head. You don't have to worry about losing your head. We lose our heads for Christ. So my point is, don't panic. It's organic. Don't panic. God has already told us. Okay? He's already told us. So let's not get so wrapped up in all that. Let's get caught up in our preparations. How are you preparing? And remember, we've always said this. This is the word of God. I'm going to read some prophetic words to you here in just a moment. That's right, Michelle. Michelle's listening in right now. She's saying separation between sheep and goats. That's absolutely correct. This is all about, I want to welcome Joseph Reynolds out there saying yes. This is all about God's timing. Listen, our Christianity is about to become more vital than it ever has. I think a lot of people have been Christian in context only. They've been Christians in word only. Our faith has been somewhat of a cosmetic thing. And in a better case, maybe we've just been going from moment to moment. There's been no storm, so we don't buckle down. It's coming. The storm is here. Okay? The storm is here. It's a Euroclodon. It's Acts 27. So get ready for it. Get ready for it. Don't panic. Hey, I'm going to open the telephone lines right now. I'm not going to wait. Why wait? Let's open the telephone lines right now. If you have a question or comment, maybe you're listening on YouTube. Maybe you're listening on Facebook or watching. We have a telephone number. You could actually call in and share your thoughts if you'd like to do so. And for those of you who are listening on omegaradio.org or blogtalkradio.com/xman777. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Share your thoughts. We like the voice of many waters. We want to communicate with the body of Christ. But again, I absolutely rebuke the spirit of cessationism off of your life. If you are not operating in the fullness of the Spirit of God because somebody has cut it off, let's get it back. Let's take our first call coming in today. I'm going to go to the telephone lines and open this up and say good morning to my dearest beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, Patricia. What are you thinking today?
I couldn't help but think when you were speaking of the red dragon, it came to my mind. Could it be, and I would like other people to come in on this, I would like to really see if I am hearing correctly, could it be that the signs and wonders coming from the red dragon that is prophesied in the book of Revelation is the incredible high official technology that they are now using, and it's growing tremendously? Is that a possibility? I would like to hear from you and some others.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that call. I appreciate that. And the question is this just the high technical? Listen, my friend said, is this their movings of amassing technology, for example? My friend said, not only is it like a magician standing before you, showing you one thing, but he's doing your secret work here. And that what he said was that this is 50 years in the making. This is their grand finale, their final solution. And he also said that while they were doing the magician's trick, that there was, let me get my thoughts together here, that there was the, oh, I'll get it back. All right. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326 is the number to call and maybe voice your opinion, talking about amassing technology and working that technology, using it for their own advantage. Oh, there it is. So the magician is saying it's coronavirus, but what they're really doing is setting up the 5G towers. Now, what Dr. Mick said, and I'll have him on this broadcast. He's in Colombia, left this morning for Colombia, but I'll have him on the broadcast. One of the most brilliant men you're ever going to hear concerning the human body. Absolute genius, and I'm not making that up. I'll bring him on. You'll know that what I'm saying is true. But what he said was that it's the 5G towers. And I was thinking about 5G. There's a lot of speculation and conversation about 5G towers. But he said that the 5G towers are emitting such radiation. Now, they put in, listen to the number now, they put in over 1 billion 5G towers throughout the nation of China. Now, not only is it the concern of the output of the energy of a 5G tower, but what it's really intended to do is to bring the entire world out into the open. Everything will be interconnected. It goes back to Joanne Vion's book, Global Straitjacket, the United Nations Global Straitjacket. She wrote it in, I think, 2010. And the whole idea of the United Nations way back when was to interconnect the world through electronic interconnectedness, okay? So 5G will actually elevate all third world countries everywhere around the world. More cameras, more invasive, digital stuff going on, privacy being removed. 5G is something to be dealt with. And I'm telling you, if there's a wilderness for God's people to get into, it's going to be designed specifically by Father God to not be invaded by this 5G territory. But everything's coming up online so that there's not going to be any movement with cash. There's not going to be any freedom of information. It's just gone. And we are there right now. We are gone. Sharon Evans is saying that her cell phone went 5G just this week. You see, what they did in China is what they're going to do in the United States and all over the world. Verizon is already selling, and so are the other phone company carriers out there. They're already selling the idea of 5G. And what they're saying, 5G is like a 8-lane superhighway compared to the 4G dirt road, the back road of a dirt road. In other words, this thing is going to go exponential, and it ties into the political digital reality that you won't be able to buy or sell. In China today, you don't even have to bring cash or a credit card. You don't have to pull out anything, not even your phone. What they're saying, where this thing is going, you don't have to have a phone anymore to show any information. You're going to be facially recognized. So when you go into Kentucky Fried Chicken to get a piece of chicken, I hope you don't, but if you do, you're going to walk through the door. They're going to know. You're going to say the word, what you want. It's all going to be dealt with. Like I'm telling you, 5G, and what so many others are saying, is not a good deal. Oh, but people are going to love it. They're going to soak it up like everything else. And we have become addicted. We're like junkies when it comes to our smartphones or cell phones. And the people that have stayed back a little bit and backed off and didn't go that way, well, they were a lot smarter, and maybe they're going to back off even more, and maybe God's going to reveal some plans about how he plans to get his people, the remnant, through this moment in that wilderness where he's prepared a place for them. If God has a prepared place, I want to be in it. How about you? But you see, that might disrupt my comfort zone, right? I might have to move. Or maybe there's some other plan from God. So whatever the case is, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. 5G network, what is it producing? Number to call, 818-369-0326. We just want to invite you into the conversation today. Now, do you know somebody that's lollygagging around, that they've talked all this talk, but they've never done one thing to prepare themselves? get them awakened. Awaken the people around you. Be the lighthouse wherever you are, if it's at work, if it's at home. You must become the lighthouse. You are the light of the world. And we know that gross darkness is coming. We know that. So right now, be the light. But guess what? It's time to start transmitting the light. In other words, transmit understanding to people's minds. You have the wisdom. You have the knowledge. You have the revelation. You have the understanding. It's time for you to emit that revelatory light to the people around you if you care about them. Some, I guarantee the Spirit of God is going to tell you, walk right past. That light may emanate and they may hear it afar off. I need to get into this. I wanted to teach on this today, and I didn't know if it was just personal or if it was for the body of Christ. I think I want to get into it. Since the lines are going slow, waiting for you all to call 818-369-0326. A lot of people listening in. We want to welcome you to call in and share your voice. But I want to ask you a question. I'm going to trust this right now. I'm going to trust this, that the people listening are people that really do love God, okay? People that really do want to go all the way with Him. Do you remember in Matthew 13, the parable that Jesus gave about the soil, the good ground? And He said that there was seed that was going to be planted in that good ground. And He says that the seed is always good. The seed is always good. But some of the seed was sown on the wayside. And then in explaining the parable, He said that the wicked one catches the word and snatches it out of their heart. And yet they received it. Okay, so there are people on the wayside. They're not committed. They're not committed. They hear the word from afar, but the world is more important to them. And they try to, you know, just kind of hear. So they're just hearing, but they're not committed to Christ. The wicked one will steal that seed, even though it was sown into their hearts. He'll take it out. Then He talked about the people that have stony ground. And the stones, obviously, in the parable represented offenses. And because there was an unwillingness to remove the offense out of the heart and to deal with those issues, okay, the bitter roots and all that stuff. So the seed got in there and it produced. And they were joyful for a moment, but the sun rose and it scorched it. And because of tribulation and persecution for the word's sake, it dried up. All right. So here again, somebody had received it, but the offenses took it out and it produced no fruit. It became fruitless. Then He talked about the cares of the world. You know, He sowed the good seed in the amongst the weeds. The weeds grew up and choked the word. And the weeds represented the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Okay, and it brought nothing to fruition. It was choked. So the seed, mighty, powerful, Word of God seed, sown in three cases, but doesn't bring anything to fruition. Then Jesus says, but then there was good ground. And the seed was sown into the good ground. Not the cares of this world, not the deceitfulness of riches, no offenses, no bitter roots, not listening from far, lack of commitment. No, there is good ground. And it produced hundredfold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping for myself and the people that I'm talking with right now that your heart is craving to produce what Father God wants. Our soil, our hearts belong to Him. He bought us. We're the land that the farmer bought, okay? And the farmer, Christ, planted seed in us legally. And He found that we were committed. He found that we did get all the rocks out of the heart. He found that our care for the things of this world has diminished. They just don't matter. But everything about us, our soil, our heart, our ground craves to bring forth what He desires. Now, what is in that seed? The seed that has been sown in our hearts contains the divine nature of Christ Himself. The seed contains the image and the likeness of God And that seed is Christ. Remember that. Galatians chapter 3. The seed is not just the Logos word. The seed is Christ. And if your heart hungers to reproduce for the glory of the farmer, to give the farmer what he wants, it's not about what we want. It's not about what we get. Our craving desire is to produce for him. And what does he want more than anything? He wants his image back. He wants his likeness back in a people that he created. He wants his divine nature. He wants a lineage from the firstborn son. He desires sons and daughters to come into his image and likeness again, who are the partakers of the divine nature. And what happens, what we believe is that we don't want just a 30-fold. We don't want just a 60-fold, which is awesome in comparison to those that had nothing. But I have to believe that the bride's heart, the remnant's heart, the overcomer's heart is a 100-fold desire. I have to believe that there's a crave in God's people for no attention for themselves, but to be a field in whom Christ has sown his seed to reproduce after his kind. You know, every male that has impregnates a woman and his seed reproduces a man child. It's his son and his daughter. They're reproduced after his kind. He wants it. This is his seed reproducing. And he reproduces after his own image. Well, Christ is the firstborn. He's the only begotten son of the Father. But God chose to bring a nation, a tribe, a people after the image and likeness of him. That's why we've been born again. Forget about belonging to Adam anymore. Your heart has been translated out of darkness into light, Colossians 1:13. So my point is this. Right now, whatever's going on in this world doesn't matter when compared to what God is doing in our hearts. Does your heart crave to produce fruit? And what is that fruit? It's the image and likeness of Christ. It's the divine nature. Are you saying, Father, you've sown your seed in me. I don't want it to get lost in the weeds. I don't want it to get lost in the rocks. I don't want to get lost in my lack of commitment. No, Father, here's my heart. All I am is ground. All I am is dirt. All I am is dirt. That's it. But my joy is to produce so that you could put seed in me and get what you want. A harvest of the image of Christ. A harvest of the wheat. A harvest of the full kernel. A harvest of sons and daughters in the huios sense of maturity. Resonate with you at all? That is what God is doing on this earth, in this earth, and in these earthen vessels right now? Don't you want to produce for him the hundredfold? Don't you want his entire essence and being to be reproduced in you? Is it a craving of your heart, a desire? Is there anything in your life that would prevent that from happening? If it's in your past, then don't let it affect your territory right now. Forget it. Your past is gone. Cast into the sea as far as the east is from the west. To hurt over your past anymore just means it's still alive. You got to deal with it. It will prevent the hundredfold. Your failures, if they're still affecting you right now, it's a prevention of bearing the hundredfold. You can't be caught up in mourning and hurting over your failures in the past. Forget it. They're buried as far as the east is from the west in the depths of the sea. The things people said about you, the things people accused you of, the way you were slandered, the way that people spoke against you and twisted you, do those things still have an effect over you? If they do, you'll never produce the hundredfold. You have to bury them, cover those words, break them with the blood of Jesus. And even if they were right, you utilize that to bring transformation and change. But you go on. So what else? Maybe you're a woman, you had an abortion. Maybe you're a man that was a homosexual and you had homosexual stuff going on. You're a woman that was a lesbian that had lesbian stuff. So what? Corinthians tells us, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. My point is, if you want to go for the hundredfold, you have to bring your conscience into alignment with the Word of God. You have to allow the blood of Jesus to touch your conscience in such a way that you have no longer a conscience of sin. So which means you got to stop dilly-dallying in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Nobody's perfect. You know, we're all sinners. You got to get rid of that doctrine. It's a doctrine of demons if you want to go on to the hundredfold. I'm telling you the truth. I know this is the Word of God. I could show you scripture after scripture. The idea of once saved, always saved is an abominable doctrine. We're all sinners. We're always going to be sinners is an abomination, a blasphemy to what Christ has paid for. Sure, our experience may not have seen that yet, but that we don't base anything on our experience. We walk by faith, not by sight, in what the finished work of Christ. I like Serge Eugene saying the holy blood of Jesus. Yes, Serge, the holy blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience. So you're born again. You're not who you used to be. You're not that old person. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how long you've been in, how deep you went in. The deeper sin you were in, Christ gets more glory for your redemption. But now is the time to be a field, saying, inseminate your seed into the good soil of my heart. It is sincere. I am committed. I hold no one under unforgiveness. I bear no offense. I release all. I forgive all. I don't care about wealth and money and riches and the cares of this world mean nothing to me. Jesus, you mean everything. I'm your field. Sow into me and allow my soil and the good soil of my heart to produce your image. I cannot imagine anything more important to a Christian. We're not silly. We know that a wise man sees the storm and prepares. Every time a massive hurricane is going to come, wise people put up the boards and they get the duct tape. I mean, preparation is not a big deal. To prepare is wise. But that's not our journey. That's just to weather a storm. And there's a mighty storm ready to rage upon the planet. The globe is going to shake. But that's not our journey. That's just something we have to go through. What God wants is to reproduce after his kind. Got a call coming in. Praise God. And if you would like to call into the broadcast, the number to call is 818-369-0326. Let's take this call coming in from area code 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Morning, Pastor.
Good morning, sir.
I searched on YouTube for the flash of light at fertilization, and you get a microscopic picture of the human egg. It just lights up with God's touch. Of course, Northwestern University describes it as a zinc kind of reaction, but you can find all kinds of videos just by doing that. And the people that are listening that have not yet asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, it's just amazing to read what some of these. I mean, a lot of them are laced with doubt. It's zinc. It's not God. But, oh, here's one from California New Network. The spark of life. Scientists discover moment souls enter the eggs. And this ties in with what you were saying earlier about, well, I forget now what exactly how you put it, but I just had to get on and mention that you can see that just on YouTube just by putting in flash of light and fertilization. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know what? It sounds absolutely amazing that the divine energy of God makes contact with that seed. It's kind of like a lightning rod. I've always compared it to a lightning rod, just waiting for the lightning to strike. And there are people everywhere that have the seed in them, and the divine energy of God and the Holy Spirit makes contact with that seed, and there is an explosion of new life. And yes, that is exactly, Phil, what we are looking for. And I believe God has saved the best for last, and I believe an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's intended to make contact with the seed. You see, in the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when God poured his Spirit out, he did not pour it out everywhere, all over the world at that time. He directed it to where they were gathered together in the upper room, where the material was, where the prepared ones were, where the lightning rods were. And when the right time came, God, who sent his Spirit, made contact with those people. They became electrified. They went forth and turned the world upside down. So it is today. What God is ready to do, his lightning is about to strike. And you talk about the seven thunders of God and the lightnings throughout the book of Revelation. Mamma mia. So the lightning is ready to strike, but it's going to hit. It's going to make contact with the genuine seed in the good soil, and it's going to reproduce after its kind. I thank you so much for that tidbit of information. Anything else you'd like to share?
It's exciting with Jesus. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Life is exciting with Jesus. I believe it. Phil, thank you so much for calling. God bless you, and thanks for calling into the broadcast. We're waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. What are your thoughts about what you're hearing today? Holy Spirit just wants you to be encouraged. You know, while Phil was talking, I was thinking, God is just wanting to tell somebody out there. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you've been. I don't know, but God knows, and he wants me to tell you, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. God has released you. Now, make sure you forgive everybody else, because if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven, and you may have a very large debt. But listen, those who are forgiven much love much. You are loved and you are forgiven, and God wants to use your life to do something that he wants to do. Will you let him? I want to let him. I'm going to let God do what he wants to do. How about you? Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. I'm having a blast with Serge out here. Serge is writing, and I don't know where Serge is from. He's watching on YouTube, and he says, the holy blood of Jesus, the Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, 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 holy blood of Jesus. I get it, Serge. You're right on, man. You are right on. Why not in the midst? You want to see an opportunity in the midst of a crisis? It's what we're talking about right now. It's what we're talking about. Your heart, is it tender? Does it cry out for insemination? God, sow your seed and all the logos seeds that you have planted in me. Lord God, send your Spirit to make contact so that that word of God, which is seed, will explode into a form, into a likeness, an image, into a nature. Do you know the thing that really separates Christianity from every other religion in the world? Do you know what it is? There is no other religion on the face of the earth that could produce a new nature. You could be a Buddha and you could go to the top of the highest mountain and hum as long as you want. It's not going to change your nature. If the Holy Spirit is not involved, there's no nature change. You could make your soulical religious part as religious as possible. No nature change. Islam, no nature change. Judaism, in its present form without Christ, no nature change. The thing that separates Christ from all religion and atheism and agnosticism and philosophy, the thing that separates is the proof of a new nature in the life of those who receive it. The whole human race is God would love to pour himself into every human being on this earth. Can you imagine one day, and it shall be, that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas? Could you imagine? the nature of the firstborn son reproducing after his kind all over the earth at the same time? See, that's what separates Christianity as a religion. Christianity as a religion without the transformation or being conformed into the image of Christ, without that, just kind of go to heaven one day, just preach this doctrine and theology and eschatological end time views and all that hermeneutical stuff out there. Christianity in a religious forms is no different than any other religion. You may as well compare it to Judaism and Islam and Chrislam and bring it all together, and it means nothing without the active, operative power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the doctrine of cessationism needs to be eradicated, cutting off the potential of this life. What makes Christ different than everything else is what he could do in your life. I don't care how bad you started, what side of the tracks you started, what color skin you have, what tribe you're from, what nation you are. None of that matters. You're a human being. And your heart is the field. And if it's good soil, committed, sincere, separated unto God, could do amazing things in you. And as his nature is growing and his character is developing in your life, why can't that same Holy Spirit move through you and laying hands on the sick and seeing power of God? See, I always said, for every ounce of gifting, there needs to be a pound of character. Because just gifts alone could get you in trouble. Because you could think, wow, I'm so gifted, I'm going to heaven. But then they come to Jesus and they say, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We healed the sick. We did all these things in your name. And he says, I don't know you, because their character wasn't right. So for years, I backed off on, never denied it, walked in it, but backed off on the idea of gifts. Because character was so lacking. Patricia and I, you know, we've been pastoring for 28 years, and it's been the greatest God work in my own life. And yet this is critical, that our job is to raise up, Ephesians 4 again, raise up the body of Christ into the fullness of Christ when it comes to character, nature, union with Christ. So gift. But right now, man, the people that want the character, that want the nature, that are that soil that's craving, it's reaching out to God, sow into me. I am fertile ground. Sow your will, your pleasure into me, and I will produce it back to you. I really believe it's coming. And I believe those same people are going to have greater gifting than anybody on the face of this earth. They have waited. They've been changing. They've been taking up their cross. They've been repenting, confessing, allowing conversion to take place. It's all going on. It's all good. Never religious, never legalistic, but just real, genuine walk with God. And it's producing now. Watch the miracle working power. And I'm hearing my friend here, Serge, he's saying he's in Brooklyn, New York. I'm from Jersey City originally, Serge, and bless you, holy man of God. Thank you so much. My daughter, one of my daughters, Haley, lives in Brooklyn as well, brother. And Michelle's saying, there it is. Yes. Thank you, Michelle and Serge, and just praise God for your input. We have Bala Krishna calling in somewhere in the world on Facebook saying, shalom. Shalom back to you, Bala. And again, for anybody that would like to call into the broadcast, the number is 818-369-0326. Man, something bigger than the coronavirus and 5G towers is going on in this world, and it's what's going on in you. I believe this with every ounce of energy I have. Every cell of my body knows that this is the gospel. What separates us from all religions is the transformation. And do you know, you do have to practice, you know, you have to put on. There's no doubt. We put off the old man, we put on the new man. But there's a time coming where the Spirit of God's going to take over this whole thing. That nature is just going to, whoop, it's going to become. It is, in other words. It just will be there. Just like you came out of Adam and you acted like Adam. Well, in Christ, you're going to start walking like Christ. Jesus will always be the preeminent head. No doubt about it. He's the firstborn and he is the last. He's the chief cornerstone and the headstone. No, that's not an issue. But his body will resemble him. Man. All right, 818-369-0326. Any thoughts, any questions, any comments to what we're saying here today? True Christianity. And yet there's a battle raging. There's a war. Remember, every time God was about to bring forth a man-child like Moses or Jesus, Yeshua, the enemy sat at the womb of the women to destroy the man-child before it would come forth. In Revelation 12, there's a man-child being birthed, and the dragon is at the womb. What is being birthed in your life is a massive threat. Could you imagine somebody walking in the full power of Jesus who said, "He who believes in me, the works I do, even greater works shall they do"? There's no way the devil wants just one of us to manifest that glory, right? Because that's power. Devils tremble at that power, right? So he's waiting to destroy it, distract it, turn it away, belittle it, laugh at it, mock it, scoff at it, cessationist. It's what he wants to do. It's what he wants to do. But God is going to help us bring this forth. You may be in a raging spiritual battle in your soul. You may be in a massive conflict. You'd be, hey, Nahar, finally, somebody out there, Nahar El-Anhari, you disagree. Praise God. Tell me your disagreement. Let me give you a number to call. We'd love to hear what you're disagreeing about. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Come on, Nahar, bring it on, brother. We'd love to talk. I really want to know what part of this conversation you are disagreeing about. Again, I want to give you a phone number, 818-369-0326. And we would love to hear what you have to say. I want to know why you disagree. I mean, you could write it out here and I'll share that as well if you'd like me to. So what do you disagree about? What do you disagree about? Christ in you, the hope of glory, being born again, being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, being partakers of the divine nature, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, being conformed into the image of Christ. And the apostolic cry, oh, little children in whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. What do you disagree with? That Christ can be formed in us? That we should prepare? I'm not sure what you're in disagreement with, so make sure you let me know, okay? We're going to wait around. Again, for anybody that's out there, 818-369-0326. It looks like we're running low on time. It's already 9:57. So we're going to be going out of time here. I wanted to say, oh, Nahar said my mistake. Well, it's okay. What was your mistake? I don't know what it was, Nahar. But God bless you. Wherever you're from, Al-Nanhari, Serge, again, from Brooklyn, New York, God bless you. Bala Krishna, shalom back to you. And again, Michelle, thanks for checking in with us today. Some great people out there that are watching with us today. Sharon, thank you for your input. Joseph, thank you for your input. Joseph Reynolds, God bless you. But listen, we're going out right now. I want you to do a minor check if you want. Okay, we have a website. It's called Omega Radio. That's it. So if you go to Omega, O-M-E-G-A, Omega, if you go to OmegaRadio.org, if you go to that website, there's a little tabs up front and there's a donate tab. We've been on the air for 3 years. I think I've mentioned this 5 times in 3 years. So this is not a big deal. But we thought that somehow the donate tab was gone because we just weren't getting any donations. And that's okay. Doesn't bother us. We're going to keep going anyways. However, if you would like to sow, we're talking about sowing. If you would like to sow into the good soil of this ministry, a prophetess ministered over us one day and said we were hundredfold soil. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you could go to our website, omegaradio.org, and there's a donate tab, and you could do that either by PayPal or by giving some other way. We would appreciate it with all of our hearts. We spend money to do this and get it done. Let me see what Nahar is saying. He says, I apologize. I read the video description and thought it's about marriage. My mistake. Cool. Nahar, God bless you. We'll talk again. We've got to go right now. We're just at that moment. Again, omegaradio.org. Find the donate tab. Donate to the ministry. We would appreciate and ask God to bless you 100-fold in your financial seed that you sow. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of the ministry. We have to go right now. But on omegaradio.org, there's a 24/7 radio station as well. Patricia Joy Xavier, my beloved wife, is talking about deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It's all about spiritual warfare to help you get prepared for what's coming. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. And I'll be with Daniel Seckham from Australia. God bless.